Here, John writes, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, in John's Gospel. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Now you know those words. Writing a thesis, or a CV, or a report for work, or a letter to Great Aunt Matilda, or even your Christmas cards, is really quite a pain. One of the best reasons of getting married is that somebody else writes my Christmas cards. John's Gospel is part inspiration, but a fair bit of it is perspiration. And I'm sure John got fed up and had a desire to give up, to complete what he'd written, to sign off, to put a sign up, to go, to leave, to pack it in. But eventually he thought it was complete. He got to the end. There were, of course, all the things he left out. There were box files back, in the back, of things that could be put in. But here was sufficient, surely. Here was enough to satisfy. And he writes effectively that he's done enough. There's more things, but this is enough. He can sign off. He can shut the book. And in fact, he effectively does so. He can put up the sign saying, gone fishing. But of course, when he puts up the sign, gone fishing, in his mind, he suddenly thinks of the fishing stories. Oh dear, he remembers, there's one more fish story. Oh well, Lord, if you say so, get the quill pen out again, new sheet of parchment, boot up the laptop, decide what we're going to do. Start off, it was the best of times. No, it's not that one we're writing. What are we going to write? Concentrate, John. Let's see. Here goes. John chapter 21. Let's see what we've got. Let's see the first few verses. So he starts again. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go out with you. So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. And then it goes on, early in the morning Jesus stood on the shore, and the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus, and he called out to them, friends, have you any fish? No, they answered, and he said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. That story is a story you know well. Right at the end of John's Gospel, almost as an afterthought, we find that Peter, who has seen it all, lived through it all, says in effect, I've had enough. I'm out of here. I'm going fishing. And I guess you and I are a bit like Peter. He had seen Jesus and been with Jesus for 3 years. And I guess many of us have seen Jesus for that length of time. We have heard more than enough to believe in Jesus. We have seen more than enough to understand sufficiently who he is and what he has done for us. So that we can and do put our trust in him. We have received his love, his mercy, his grace. Indeed, we have life in his name. And Peter had actually been there, had actually listened to all Jesus' teaching, had seen him work all his miracles, had watched as he was tried, and then despaired as he was crucified, but then had met the risen Christ. And yet, for all that, he gets fed up hanging around in Galilee. And he reverts to type. I'm packing it in. I'm going. I'm giving up. I've had enough. I'm going fishing. Let's look back and see what happened 3 years earlier. Let's look at Luke 5. This is when Jesus first met Peter, as against to right at the end. Because one day, as Jesus is standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding round him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats, left there by the fishermen, who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So then they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. So this story, in effect, appears twice. Once at the end of John and once at the beginning of Luke. Once when Peter first meets with John, he's fishing and he can't catch anything. Once at the end when he decides, "I've had enough, I'm going back, I'm going to go fishing." I wonder how long you've been a Christian and known the love of God. How long have you brought all your cares and woes to him as we've been singing? Just like Peter. Just like that song about love unknown. You've known the love of Jesus just like Peter. And yet, many years ago, Peter was an ordinary fisherman and Jesus happened to meet him and that changed everything, as it did for us when we meet Jesus. But did it? 3 years later, Peter's going back to his roots. I know I am, maybe you are, tempted to give up, to leave it to others, to say it's about time the younger generation took over and did something for a change. I've had enough. And if you look around North Wales, you will see lots of chapels. Some of the chapels are shops, some of the chapels are private houses, some of the chapels are Chinese takeaways, all sorts of things. None of them were built for that. But over the years, various individuals have said, "I've had enough. I'm packing up. I'm going to back to something I'm better at, that I do know what how to do." And in the process, many have joined them. When Peter was saying he was going fishing, six of the other disciples decided to follow him. That's condemnation in itself. Peter managed to persuade half of the other disciples to agree with him and follow him and do something which was completely useless. They didn't catch a thing. In Luke 5 we read that Peter's working hard, doing it his way, getting nowhere. And now we see 3 years later, Peter doing exactly the same. Peter is in effect saying, "I know how to fish. I know this lake. I fished it many times since I was a lad. I know where the fish are. I can do this. Come with me." And the result is nothing. Zilch. I've never been a fisherman. I'm not a sportsman of any sort. And my idea of fishing is not his idea of fishing anyway. It's more sitting there with a rod by the side of a river doing nothing, hoping that the fish will come. The only time I actually went fishing was when I was a young teenager. I lived near the River Thames in Reading and I had a friend, Alan, who had a canoe. I'm not sure how he came by the canoe, but he had a canoe. We were really close friends when I was young, but we drifted apart. When I was 18, I went off to Oxford, to university, and he went off, I don't think it was to Oxford, but to prison anyway. This was at a time when both places were pretty hard to get into. So we had to qualify to get into both of them. So we drifted apart. But he had acquired a canoe. It was a canvas canoe, second hand, with holes, but it was a canoe. We patched it up so it didn't leak so much. It was a one-man canoe, but two lads equals one man. So we sort of squeezed down. One was right down in the front as far as you could, and the other one was... So there wasn't much space for the water to get in where people would normally get in. Various places for the water to get in where it shouldn't get in. And we went out on the Thames. We argued about the paddle, one paddle between two of us. If we capsized, I wouldn't have been here now. But somehow, during that idyllic summer, we managed to catch a fish. I'm not quite sure how we caught the fish. Whether Alan acquired a line and a bait, whether he used a bit of string, whether he just went round in circles so often the fish got disoriented and gave up and jumped on board. But we caught a fish, and we were so pleased with this fish that we took it home. And we built a bonfire in our garden, and we discolored it. And then we tried to eat it. But more of that later. But really, from John's point of view, this story in John, from Peter's point of view, Peter couldn't catch any fish to begin with, and now, when God provides, he catches loads. And really, he has next to no work to do to catch the loads. Because God provides. He works hard all night and gets nowhere, and then they appear. All he has to do is to drag them on board. When I was a teenager, I used to go to Crusaders classes, and I used to sing the old song, "I will make you fishers of men if you follow me." And from Luke 5, at the end of that comes that verse, "I will make you fishers of men." In fact, Mike and Pete and I used to sit in the back row and sing the revised version, "I will make you vicious old men." Hopefully our prayers have been answered, but still. For fishing is a dirty, nasty business. Really, fishing is. It's not idyllic. Catching fish is not a question of saying, "Here, kitty, kitty," and coaxing the fish on board. It's not a question of saying, "Would you mind awfully just hopping onto my boat?" It's hard graft. And Jesus is saying to his disciples at the beginning, "I will make you fishers of men. Use your skill, but it's going to be hard. It's going to be nasty." Fishermen were not highly valued in Jewish society. It's a necessary job, like being a shepherd, another of Jesus' examples, and it is what God is asking us to be fishers of men or to be shepherds, as comes in the latter part of this this chapter 21. Way back in Jeremiah, God said he was going to bring back his people. Jeremiah 16:16 says, "I will bring them back into their land which I have given to the fathers. Behold, I will send many fishermen and they will fish them, and afterwards many hunters and they will hunt them, from every mountain and hill and out of the holes in the rocks. For my eyes are on their ways, they are not hidden from my face, nor their iniquity hidden from my eyes. I will go and grab them, I will hook them, I will pull them in, I will hunt them down, I will yank his people back. Like it or not, I will grab them." That's what fishing is like. You don't have a conversation with the fish about whether you'd like to come on the end of the hook. You draw it in. But they're the fish that God provides. They had to drag this net up. And the second thing I see about this is that we actually have to care for the fish. Because as you go on a little bit further in John 21 to verse 11, there is the statement that when they had dragged the fish to shore, Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged his fish ashore, and it was full of large fish, 153. Now, 153 seems a strange number. I happened to go to a school where 153 was important, and I was one of the 153. 5,000 people being fed means a large crowd. 153 fish means 153 in my mind. It means to me that they looked at these fish. You know, when an angler comes with a fish, you normally see him and he says it's that big and it weighs so much. There's a photo of it. And it's as though Peter and the rest of them, when they brought them to the shore, didn't say, "Oh, that's a nice little fish, let's chuck them over there, forget about them." It's as though these fish are to be looked after and cared for and treated properly, weighed and measured. They went through them one by one, because that's the way they knew there were 153. They weren't just dumped on the side. And whether they were salted or smoked or cooked, how they prepared them and looked after them, I don't know, but they were prepared. I said about this fish and the fact that it didn't, that we caught, it didn't taste very nice. One of the big problems was we didn't clean it. Well, it'd been in the Thames, so it's clean on the outside. But the thought of actually removing the dirt and grime and guts from the inside of it before you cooked it never crossed our minds, so we cooked it whole. We thought that that was the way fish were. Fish need to be gutted. When you are fishers of men, the fish that God provides for you and for me need to be looked after and cleaned and tidied up. I know nowadays all your fish comes from Tesco's or Morrison's, and it's been filleted and topped and tailed and gutted and wrapped in cling film and silver foil and so on, and all the smells taken out of it. It's hygienically sealed. Fish don't actually come like that. And Jesus' picture of us being fishers of men, the people that become to us, come to the church, don't come nicely chopped up and cleaned and perfect. They need to be looked after. They need to be cleaned. They need to be developed. And that's what we tend to forget. At the end of John, the last bit, after they've had the meal, after they've brought all these fish in, Peter has a conversation with Jesus. And Peter asks, and Jesus asks Peter a question. Do you love me? And Jesus asks us that question. Do you love me? And I guess our answer is the same as Peter's. Yes, you know I love you. Yes, of course I love you. Yes, why don't you keep on going on about it, I love you. We sung it. My song is love unknown. We sing it often here in praise and worship about the love of God. We know God loves us. We do love him. That's the easy part. Because it follows on each time, Simon Peter, do you love me? With, feed my lambs, look after my sheep, tend my flock. Though the picture has changed from fish to sheep, the message is the same. Whichever boring, dirty, despised job you take on, fishing or farming, we are expected to work at it. It proves our love. So we don't give up after 3 weeks, or 3 months, or 3 years, or 30 years, with a sign up saying, I've had enough, I'm gone fishing, I just want to go idle away the time. We don't wander off. We don't revert back to our old ways of doing things. We have, and I hope that's the thought that we take back to our churches for this next year, after our lovely relaxing holiday, in the glorious sunshine of North Wales. We have to demonstrate to ourselves that our love is true by tending the flock, by feeding the sheep, by looking after each and every fish that we catch, by removing the dirt and the grime that's inside each and every one of them and us. Otherwise, we're not worthy to present it. A pile of rotten fish is not much of a testimony to God, but a clear, vibrant, healthy person who knows his sin and opens his heart to God and is prepared to be cleansed and changed by him is a person that Jesus rejoices over. So I hope that you will continue to work and witness and love, and not just pack up.